We continue our trek through Perek Chelek in Masechet Sanhedrin, studying the wonderful agadatas of this Perek, dealing with, among other things, the afterlife, the Trias HaMesim, resurrection of the dead. We were in the middle of a story where the heretics asked Rabbi Gamliel for proofs about Trias HaMesim, and Rabbi Gamliel brought them a proof, or what he thought was a proof, or at least a hint to it from a pasuk in the Torah, which they said is not so convincing. And then he decided to bring a hint from the Nevi'im. He said, "Min Nevi'im dichsiv," is in the middle of Tzadi Amon Beis, about the fourth wide line. He says, "Dichsiv yu meisecha, yichyu meisecha, nevelasi yu kumun, hakitzu v'radenu, shochnei afar, ki tal aroz talecha, ve'eretz refa'im tapil." This is the pasuk from Sheyahu, which talks about the dead will arise, and even those who are nephilim, stillborns, will live once again, or the fetuses will be resurrected, and those who are shochnei afar, those who are lying in the ground, will once again awaken and praise Hashem, because the dew of the Torah, the tal of the oros talecha, the dew of the Torah, the mitzvah, will be like the dew of the light for the deceased, and the land will bring forth and the deceased who are buried in it. So here, this seems to be a hint to Trias HaMesim from the Torah. Now Rashi, by the way, points out that this refers to the dead of Eretz Yisrael, and he also says that, again, right, he says, Yichyu Meisecha, that's Meisei Eretz Yisrael, the dead of Eretz Yisrael, and Nivlasi Yikumum refers to even, it's based on Mark Suva, said even those who are fetuses will live again. It's interesting that Rashi brings these two explanations. It could have simply said that the dead will live again. Why the dead of Eretz Yisrael? Why the Nephilim? Why the fetuses will live again? And so it could be because of what actually the response is. The response of the heretics were Vidilma, or the Siddukim were Dilma Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel. Maybe this prophecy in Sheol is referring to a time when Yecheskel resurrected the dead. And there he resurrected bodies that were outside Eretz Yisrael, not fetuses. So that's why perhaps Rashi wanted to explain that Rabbi Gamliel sort of intuited that, and he's saying, no, this refers to those who were buried in Eretz Yisrael, and even Nephilim, and even fetuses. But the Tzidokim rejected that. And then he tries a third proof from the Ksuvim. Min Ksuvim dichsi v'chikech ki yed hatov holech ledodi l'meishrim dovev sifse yed shedim. So here the pasuk says, literally it means from Shir Hashirim, your mouth is like the choicest wine, let it flow to my beloved as new wine, gliding over the lips of sleepers. So what are the yeshenim? It says that there's this wine that's flowing, going over the lips of the sleepers. The sleepers, yeshenim, refer to yeshenei afar, right? We say that in the Davening, first to those who have those who have died. The Marsha points out that there's this type of wine that is mishumar, that is guarded from the 6 days of Bereishis. It's not wine that intoxicates in this world, but it's a wine that will revive those who are dead and resurrect those who are dead. And it's interesting that those who are dead are called, the way that they're revived and resurrected is by the wine touching their lips. Dovev sifte yeshenim. That they will sort of move their lips, and that is a sign, speech is a sign of life. You know, when Hashem created man, he says he breathed into man, v'yipach b'apav nefesh chaya. So man had a nefesh chaya. And the Unkelus, this is in Bereishis Perek Beis, Pasuk Zion, and Unkelus translates as ruach memalala, speech. So what defines life of a human being is his speech. So that's when we're resurrected, so that's what the first place that we're going to be, in a sense, resurrected, or the symbol of that, is we're going to be moving our lips. Now, the Tzidokim did not accept that hint. They said, V'dilma rachushim rachshin sif Vosei ba'alma. Maybe it simply means that the lips of the deceased will move in the kefir. And they say this is similar to Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan lived after Rabbi Gamliel, but this is similar to Rabbi Yochanan. Later on, said that Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yishuv ben Yotzada, call me. Shenever halacha bishmo ba'olam hazeh sifsos of dovos bekever. Shenever dovim sifsta yishenim. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Name of Shim ben Yotzadik." That someone, if someone says a halacha in someone's name, who passed away, so the person's, the deceased's lips are moving in the kever. And based on this pasuk, dovim sifsta yishenim. So this notion of lips murmuring in the kever, it's a beautiful idea because, in a sense, if you quote, let's say, a Rambam, so the Rambam, in a sense, comes back to life. Now, the Rambam's Torah is alive in our mouth. And the Maharal writes this, that says there's no Misa when it comes to Torah. A Torah lo shayach ba Misa. There's no death when it comes to Torah. And when you say something you heard from someone who passed away, you connect that person. You connect that person's Torah to life. You bring the person's Torah to life. And that's this idea of Lachach Mevi Lo Achaim Ad Shesvasav Dovos Bekever. His lips are moving in the kever because he has a connection. His lips with spoke Torah, so that Torah becomes alive again. Torah becomes alive in our mouth when we quote the Torah from someone who passed away. So Rabbi Gamliel was unable to convince these tzedokim about God, about the proof, about Tchias HaMeisim from Torah Nevi'im or Ksuvim. So the Gemara says, okay, Ad Shabar Lehem Mikra Zeh. So finally he was able to convince them with the following pasuk. The pasuk says, we say it in Shema every day, Lema Yumeichem V'neichem Al Ha'adama, right? Hashem will increase your days of your children on the land. Asher Nishpa Hashem Lavoseichem L'Sei Shlohem. Hashem commanded to your forefathers to give them. And it says, Lachem lo ne'amar ela lahem. Hashem promised to give them, your ancestors, the Torah. So that means that Hashem made a shvuah, made an oath, that he's going to give to the avos themselves, Eretz Yisrael. So it must be they're going to come back to life. V'yesh omrim, there are those who say, Mina mikra azeh amar lahem. No, he convinced them from a different pasuk. In Devarim, Da'al da'al, v'atem advekim, v'ashem elokeichem, chayim kolchem hayom. It says that we are connected, cleaving to Hashem, alive, all of us today. Pshita dechayim kulchem hayom. Why does it say the word hayom? Hashem, we can simply say, Tamat vekim b'Hashem lakim, chayim kulchem, you're all alive. What's hayom? Elafilu b'yom shekolam kulam mesim atem chayim. Wants to say that even on a day, I'm sorry, so that's in brackets, I apologize. So he says, Tamat vekim b'Hashem lakim, chayim kulchem hayom. So then, we'll skip the brackets. It says, Mahayom kulchem chayamim, afalom haba kulchem chayamim. Why did it say the extra hayom? Just like today, you're all alive. Also, the olam haba, you're all going to be alive. What's interesting is that he brings a proof from Shema. And so maybe it's you want to silence the tzedukim. Tzedukim recite Shema just like the tzedukim were Jews. They recited the Shema every day, like the traditional Jews did. So he wanted to use a pasuk that they would say every day. Every day when we daven, davening is also an opportunity to build our faith. So from Shema, we see hints to the tchias hamesim. The Ben Yoyada says that the fact that Vatem Advekim Bashem El Keichem Chayim Kuchem Hayom is a source of Tchias HaMeisim, that we're going to come back from the dead. And what's the goal? Dveikus. Olam Haba is all about Dveikus, all about connecting, cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we move on to another story. And it's a story with Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya. So the Gemara says, Shalom Rabbim as Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. The Romans ask Yeshua ben Chananya. Minayin shekadosh baruch hu machayim meisim v'yodea ma she'asid lichyos. How do we know that Hashem resurrects the dead and knows what will happen in the world to come? Amar lehu Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya says to them, v'tarvayu, we can learn both of these things. Minamik razef from the following pasuk. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, v'yom Hashem v'moshe hincha shechiv v'masecha v'kam. Hamazev is Anna. Hashem tells Moshe at the end of his life that you're going to lie with your answers, vikam, and you're going to rise. And also, the fact that the Hamasev is honored, that the nation is going to stray after other gods, is both a proof or a hint to resurrection of the dead, and Moses will come back to life, and also that Hashem knows the future, that the nation will stray in the future. And then the Romans say back to him, "Vidom, maybe become Hamazeh Bizana." Okay, maybe no, the word "become" is not connected to Moshe, that Moshe is going to lie down and then arise, but maybe it's connected to the what's written afterward, that become Hamazeh Bizana, the nation will arise in the future and will stray. It has nothing to do with Tchias HaBesim. So Amar Lahu, so Rishu Ben Chaya said back to them, okay, fine, even according to what you're understanding, Nekotu Mia Paga Bidaichu. So at least grab hold to half of the answer. Okay, I gave you half the answer. The Yodei Mashiach Lichyo. So Hashem knows what's going to happen. And then we have Itmar Nami. We also learned in the Brisa of Yochanan Mishum Mishum Ben Yochai. Yochanan said to the name of Mishum Ben Yochai, Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Mechaya Mesim, V'yodei Mashiach Lichyos. How do we know that Hashem resurrects the dead and knows what will happen in the future? Shenem, as the Pasuk says, Hincha Shochev Masecha V'kam. Behold, you will lie with your ancestors and arise. So this is a peculiar passage, if you think about it. The Romans seem to ask Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya two different questions. They ask him about Tchias HaMeisim and also about God knowing the future. What's the connection? Why does the Gemara join these two questions together? And why specifically bring this pasuk about Moshe is going to die and come back to life? There are so many prophecies, and also the people will stray. There are so many explicit prophecies in the Torah. And this whole thing about, he said, okay, well, I can answer you half. You know, when they rejected what this pasuk meant, he says, well, at least I can answer half of your questions. So it seems it's part of half of a whole. It seems that there is this connection between these two questions of resurrection and God knowing the future. Rav Ezra Bick suggested that the Romans were rational, philosophical, and scientific, and they believed that certain beings had certain powers. They believe in gods. They believe that the miracles can happen, but only matters within human conception. The Roman gods were more powerful than human beings, and they could do certain things. However, these two examples of resurrection of the dead and foreknowledge, knowing what's going to be in the future, so these pierce the boundaries of natural possibility. This is something that's not part of the human conception. Knowing the future is beyond the realm of possibility because you have free will. So how do you know what someone's going to do? Again, there was a belief in astrology, but that was viewed as a form of science based on mechanical laws. But here, the idea that God knows the future of what people will do when people have free will, so that is beyond human conception. Also, the idea of life, we understand that life leads to death, but that doesn't lead to life. This is beyond human understanding. And that's why perhaps the prime example of Gvurot, the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, praises God for his strength. And the prime example of Gvurot is Mechaya Meisim, is resurrection of the dead. This is totally beyond the boundary of human capabilities. And as the Romans are asking about our faith, about our claim, about our God. And it's two parts, but one question. How can we claim that God does things that are beyond human conception? Resurrection of the dead and knowledge of the future. So Rabbi Gamliel tried to find one pasuk that contained both elements of God's unique qualities. That's why he specifically chose a pasuk that talked about both resurrection of the dead, or hinted at resurrection of the dead, and knowledge of the future. And once they reject, I guess, one part of, or they feel that one part of his proof is not strong, so they said, well, at least have the other part. And this idea about how can man have free will, but also God knows the future, this is something that didn't trouble merely the Romans. This troubled our Jewish philosophers as well, and our Jewish thinkers, as to how could it be that we have free will and Hashem knows what we're going to do. Doesn't seem to make any sense. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perakei Halacha Hei, basically says, yeah, we cannot understand it. But he says both positions are true. he says that on the one hand, that just like we don't understand the truth of our Creator, this Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva Perkei Lachahei, since we don't understand the nature of God, in other places in the Morning of Ukhim, Rambam says we can understand what God is not, but he says we can't understand what He is. So he says that in reality, in Hilchos Tshuva, he says we don't have the power to understand the truth of God, the essence of God, to understand the understanding of God. We just don't. So how are we going to know how Hashem knows what the future, what's going to be, what is creations? But we know that God is all-powerful. And we also know that since God rewards and punishes, it must be that man has free will. So we know both of these positions are true. But just like we don't know many things about God, we don't know how it could be that God can have knowledge of the future and also man can have free will. We don't understand it with our own human knowledge how this could work, but that's okay. We don't have a full understanding of how God operates, but we know that God is perfect and that God is all-powerful, and therefore God is beyond time, beyond space, but He relates to time and space. At the same time, we know that based on the idea of reward and punishment, that must mean that man has free will. Now, the Ravid didn't like the fact that the Rambam asked this question, didn't provide an answer. Although the Rambam, in a sense, did provide an answer about the limits of our knowledge, the Ravid simply said that just like the astrologers, that they know what's going to be, but they have knowledge but not control. That's sort of the way God works. God's, in a sense, like the way the astrologers, that they itztag ninim, they know from some other source what will happen. But at the same time, we have free will as well. So knowledge does not necessarily equal control. So that was the discussion between the Jews and the Romans, which highlights the idea of the Jewish God more than the Roman God. The Roman God somehow can be within, they can understand gods within their human conception, that they're fundamentally similar to human beings, but they have greater powers. But the Jewish God is a being that is totally beyond our conception and can do things that we can't even fathom, but that's okay. Even if we don't understand it, it still is true, and this is what God is. And we don't understand how a God who is beyond time, beyond space, has a relationship with us who are part of time, part of space. But notwithstanding that, we know that it's definitely true. Or we believe that it's definitely true.